Your Bible, 1 Corinthians. We've been studying 1 Corinthians, and last week we finished up on chapter 5, and talking about judgment and talking about separation from the world, and went so far as even they put somebody out of the church. In chapter 6, it goes a little farther. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. You know, in 1 Corinthians, there's really not much. You have to go outside of the book. If you just read 1 Corinthians, it pretty well is self-explanatory. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world?" We'll be kings and priests. We're going to judge the world, the new world, amen, and those that's left here. "Now, know you not, and if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church." Now he talks about judging within the church. Now we don't have to judge the world, it's already judged. Jesus said, "I didn't come to condemn the world, I come to save," but the world's already condemned. But we have to judge within our church body. We have to do that. People get mad at you and they say, "Well, you can't judge me." Now, wait a minute. We have to make judgments for the sake of the church and the scriptures. And I've even known people in churches to take their brothers and sisters to court. Right. And he rebukes that. He said, "Darian, if you have a matter against another, go to law before the unjust." That's public court. And not the saints. Shouldn't you have took care of that at the house of God? And he goes on to say, "You're going to judge the world. And if you're going to judge the world and angels, don't you think you could judge small matters?" Now, a lot of what he's talking about, if you'll turn to Matthew 18, that's a lot of what he's talking about. Turn back to Matthew 18. Look at verse 15 in Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 15. "Moreover, if thy brother..." Now, if he says brother, you know that's a saved person, right? That's a saved person. Not neighbor. Brother. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." That's how you judge a matter right there. First. "If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained a brother." Now, that's the... how to, you might save your relationship is you go to the person that you have a matter against. You make a judgment. They made a judgment or whatever. And you settle it between yourselves. And by doing that, you have gained your brother or sister. Alright? "But if he will not hear thee, then take thee to one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established." Now, that's what the law said. The law of Moses said that. That way, they can't say, "Well, he said this, she said that, he didn't say this, he didn't, she didn't." You know, there's witnesses, okay? But why not settle it between two of you first, and you don't even have to go this far. But if you can't, then you get two or three people to go with you. "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church." Now, it is a gossip among church members. You tell it to the whole church. You have a meeting. And you don't see this anymore. You have a meeting, and this has happened between, he built a fence on my property, 6 inches over, whatever. You know, he offended me, she neglected me, or whatever. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Now, preacher, how do you get that authority? Well, verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, you have authority with God and with heaven that you can get things done. See? So, go back to chapter 6 in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And he says, if then, verse 4, if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. In other words, you don't have to have the pastor do it. Find out the least esteemed, in other words, the most humble, probably the quietest person you find in church. Get them and let them make the decision for you too. Y'all see what I'm saying? Don't get the big mouth guy that's got an opinion about everything. Don't get the gal that, you know, she's got that wagging tongue. You know, get some little old guy that's quiet and humble, or some woman that's quiet and humble, and let them be the judge of it. And then agree on that judgment, whatever it is. Just agree on it. Yeah, well, maybe I would say, well, you're right, I'm wrong. Or vice versa. And then it's done. Or if they owe you money, say, yeah, they owe me money, but I'm going to forgive it, or whatever the person, the one joined the judge and tells you to do. See, now, churches are eat up with divisions because they don't do stuff like this. Instead of talking to one another, they talk to somebody else. And then, and by the way, when you get through talking, that one's going to talk to somebody else, and that one's going to talk to them, and that one's going to talk to them. And by the time it gets around to you, it was they stepped on your foot, and by the time it gets back to you, they cut your leg off. Yeah. You know, it's going to grow like a snowball. So he's telling the church, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? In other words, let it be settled in the house of God, in the body of believers. Okay? Now, verse 5. I speak to your shame. He said, you'll be ashamed of this, is what he's saying. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. He said, now I'm ashamed to say that you folks think you don't even have anybody smart enough, wise enough to judge matters like this. Verse 6, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Before the lost people. Bad testimony. Well, if that's going on down church, I ain't going to church there, you know. And that's all it is. To go to public court and be believers is just wrong. Yes. Now, if you're defending yourself, you got to defend yourself. But to take somebody to court as the oppressor, he said, is there not anybody down at your church wise enough to settle this without taking it out before lost people? And by the way, lost people's opinion is not, probably not going to be the same as a Christian's, because they're blind and trespasses and sin. Verse 7, now therefore there is utterly fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Whoa, did he say that? I'm going to stand up for myself. No, why don't you just take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Sometimes we just let people take us. Sometimes we just, for the sake of peace and for the sake of love and for the sake of church, sometimes we are done wrong and we just let it go. If you don't want that to happen, you never want to be a pastor. Because if a pastor didn't do that, he wouldn't have his job long. And he said, why don't you just not rather take wrong? Just take it. They used to say, take it like a man. You remember when they used to say that? Well, if there was any men left, they'd still be saying that. Nay, he said, no, you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. In other words, he's saying, no, you're not being mistreated. This one is defrauding people. You're doing wrong against others. And what he's saying is, you ought to be doing unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And you ought to do that if you ought to treat others like it was you if you got caught. In other words, you ought to have mercy on people, you know. Now, look at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Now, what makes us righteous? Somebody tell me.
Jesus' blood.
He makes us. He declared us righteous. We're not righteous.
Right.
We have sinful motives and sinful flesh and everything. Our best is still usually selfishness and covetousness and things like that. So he said, no, no, that in unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but we have Christ's righteousness.
Amen.
Now, because of that, he's made us into new creatures. We've been transformed, see. Now, so here he describes those who will not be saved. Be not deceived, neither fornicators. That's a person that lived. These are people that lived a lifestyle. We're not talking about a brother that fell one time, got up, or a sister that fell and got up. But these are, would you call a person a liar if they told a lie to the highway patrolman when he said he was going 5 miles over the speed limit? And I'd say no, no, unless they did that all the time everywhere they went. That's a liar. That's a lifestyle. But if my wife asked me, does that dress make her look fat, I'm going to lie. Dan, you better smile. You've done it. We've all done it. When that husband says, am I as good looking as I was when you first married me? Ladies, you're going to lie. You're going to lie. I'm not talking about a lifestyle of lying. I've known liars. They lie about everything. I've known fornicators. I'm not justifying sin. Those are still sins that we have to get under the blood. But he's talking about these kind of people. When you think of a drunk, or you think of, you know what I'm saying. These are this describes their lifestyle. Okay. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, in case you don't know what effeminate means, that means men that are feminine, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, that could be perversion, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 11. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now that used to be our lifestyle. That used to be. And nobody's any better than anybody else. But now we've been sanctified. We've been set apart. We've been taken out of the world, set into the body of Christ, sanctified. We've been justified. He's declared us just as if I'd never sinned because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, does that mean that I am no longer ever more going to sin? No, that's not what it means. He declared me that way. Now, as I grow more in the Lord, I will grow into different things and change and grow. And some things drop off quicker than others, and some things you struggle with all your life. Depends on who you are and where you came from. But that's not our lifestyle. That's not our lifestyle. We're washed in the blood of Jesus. Now look at verse 12. All things are lawful unto me. Now that doesn't mean I can go out and do anything I want to, but it means that now I'm not under the law. I'm under the grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. God doesn't judge me by the law for heaven or hell. But all things are not expedient. In other words, I can do anything and still go to heaven, but that's not always the good thing to do. It's not the expedient. My mom was Free Will Baptist. I loved my mama. I didn't argue about church with my mama. Her church was pitiful. I went one time. A lot of ignorance, just ignorance. And they were free will. They thought you could lose your salvation. They thought if you sinned and you died that way without confessing and repenting and getting rid of that sin, you'd wake up in hell. I said, Mom, let me ask you something. I said, suppose a person backslides. They were an alcoholic. They were drunk. They backslid one time. They got drunk. And while they were drunk, they had a car wreck. But they were saved. What would happen to them? She said, they'd go straight to hell. I said, well, then that's not salvation. Well, she said they wouldn't have time to confess it before they died. I said, but it nowhere in the Bible does it say that's the unpardonable sin. She said, well, if you don't confess all your sins before you die, then you'll go to hell. I said, I did that March 5th, 1978. I confess my sinfulness. I confess my unworthiness. I confess my filthiness. And I ask for salvation, forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, depending on His death, burial, and resurrection to get me to heaven. Mama, I'll never be good enough to go to heaven. I'm not what I used to be, thank God. But I'm not always what I ought to be. But thank God I'm not what I'm going to be either. Amen? Now that's what he's saying here. He's saying, such were some of you. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. He is not okay in sin. He's saying, now, by the law, that the law doesn't pertain to me anymore. I'm out from under the law. So all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. In other words, everything ain't good for me. You know, a lot of independent Baptists used to think if you smoked cigarettes, you'd go to hell. They really did. They thought that. Well, in this age here, we know if you smoke cigarettes, it's going to kill you. We knew that then. Baptist preachers was preaching against smoking before the government ever put a label on the cigarette pack. But we knew it wouldn't take you to hell. It'd just make you sick and you'd die early. But it was lawful, but it was not expedient. There's some folks chew tobacco. And I think chewing tobacco is the nastiest thing. My mama dipped snuff till she was 97. They put her in a nursing home. My mama dipped snuff. One of the nastiest things I've ever seen. But dipping snuff wouldn't keep my mama out of heaven, as nasty as it was. And there's some people come to this church, when I preach against smoking, they say amen. But if I talk about snuffing, they don't say nothing. Or chewing tobacco, they don't say nothing. Rachel, did you have your hand up? She went like this. All things are lawful unto me, but not expedient. Nothing will steal my salvation, but things can steal my power and my fellowship with God. They can. Now, he goes on, he says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, I won't let these things control my life. And then he gives a very easy answer, verse 13. Meats for the belly and belly for the meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. In other words, there's some people say you can't eat shrimp, you can't eat lobster, and you can't eat octopus, all the good stuff, you know, they say you can't eat. And pork and all this stuff. And he said meats are for the belly. It's just for the belly. It's to fill you up. That's all it is. It's just to fill me up. But God will destroy all that stuff that people die, that's not good for me sometimes. And the flesh, one day, He'll destroy it too. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall then I take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. And he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. In other words, when you have a, let's just say, intimate relationship, you become one body. The Bible says that a man and woman, the husband and wife, become one flesh, right? Okay, when you have an intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ through his spirit and your spirit becomes one spirit. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So, he's saying the flesh shall be one flesh. Verse 17, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. And what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, the joining of two flesh is a temporary union, but the joining of the spirits is the eternal union. That'll never change. That's what gives you the eternal life, is the joining of those spirits, God's with yours. And that causes regeneration, the new birth. See what I'm saying? Now, the body is going to go away. Unless the rapture happens, from dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Amen? The body's going to go away. But the spirit and the soul will live that's been regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the reason is, though, is because we've joined into his spirit. And he'll never die, see. And there's nobody on earth that can make you live forever in your flesh. Nobody. And he's going to have to give you a new flesh. He's going to have to regenerate that flesh, make it into a new body. Now, so this whole thing is about this. He's saying, now, we ought to judge some things in the church, and we ought to do it rightly, and we ought to let those who are least esteemed do the judging, because nobody ever really thinks much about them, but they've got a little wisdom. There's some wise people in church that can make decisions. And what these people were doing, they were looking at everything fleshly and not spiritually. And he has to explain it to them like children. That's flesh. This is spirit. That's righteousness. This is unrighteousness. In my flesh dwells no good thing. See? So he's trying to explain to them that a spiritual church takes care of things spiritually. They don't run down to the courthouse and take care of things physically. Every decision we make in here is a spiritual decision. Amen. When we went to come in after this building, we didn't do a thing until everybody, 100%, we voted 100% to buy this property and move over here. Now, some of them that voted ain't here. I don't know why they didn't come. Can't nobody drive no farther than Rachel or Becky or Sister Joyce and those in Indian Land, the Dye family. Nobody drives any farther than them. The Fortunes live way up in Indian Land. Now the Kings come and they live about 2 miles farther than the Fortunes up in there. But all of this was a spiritual decision. We didn't judge it by whether we had enough money or whether the leaders in the church that gave the most money agreed with it. We prayed and then we voted, and that was a spiritual decision. Now thank God we had money in the bank, but didn't have to borrow much. And then God proved it was a spiritual decision by what? 2 weeks, 3 weeks later? Paying it off. Paying it off. Now, we didn't have to go down to the courthouse to get nothing settled. We didn't even use a realtor. We used a real estate attorney, a lawyer. But he didn't even charge us. He did for free. He did that for free. Now, I'm glad there wasn't no big shot carnal, fleshly-minded people in here,
yes,
who would have wanted us to spend a whole lot more money on a bigger place and went and got a high-dollar lawyer and all this stuff. Thank God we make spiritual decisions. Everybody in this church is not always going to agree, but when you don't agree, you can be agreeable even when you disagree. Amen. If you're spiritual minded, you can.
Yes.
You know, it may come, sometimes I worry about our parking lot. I worry about it. Because I've seen some of you drive. Sears. I can see it right now. Backing out. Turning too sharp and taking a big old scratch about that long off somebody's back fender as you back out, and lawsuit. Now, if you're right with God, there won't be a lawsuit. I mean, everybody's got insurance. You know, you can get it settled. The church has got some insurance. We get things settled. But carnal-minded people don't see it that way. And they also don't see the law and grace as we do. See, and a lot of people that you think are spiritual minded are really law minded because they think they're so good that they're keeping these laws, and therefore they're more spiritual than you are because they live more separate or whatever, dress different or whatever. You know what I'm talking about, Phariseeism. And so they're really not spiritual minded, they're carnal minded, and they'll take you to a carnal court and sue the britches off of you. Well, I hope not. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But the point being, this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, so it needs to be treated as a spiritual thing, not a physical thing. The things of this world, we have to fight ourselves every day with the spiritual part to fight against the carnal part, the fleshly part. Now, I don't want people fussing and fighting, and really, as pastor, we don't have many business meetings. You know why? Business meetings just open the floor for complaints. Y'all seen? It just opens the floor for complaints. Now, if you want a desire business meeting, let us know. We'll call one. But if you just got a complaint, why don't you come to the people that you got the complaint with and let us get it fixed, you know. But we were going to start a couple committees, and I was kind of talked into it. I've never been one for a committee. A giraffe was a horse designed by a Baptist committee. And I kind of hesitated. But I got talked into it, and then the next week, after the man that taught me in, when we first moved in, because they kept saying, "Preacher, you need help, you need help, you need help. We're going to divide this up and divide this up." And the next week he came back and he said, "Pastor, I don't think I was right about that committee thing." I said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, my wife talked to me." He said, and she said that the more committees you have, the more opportunity for arguments you have, because these people may not even agree with each other. And anyway, it went on that we decided we didn't need those committees. We're doing real good. But anytime you want to help, let me know. I'll put you to work. We don't need a committee to do that. Amen. We'll give you a church credit card. We'll buy you supplies. This fellow here and this lady paints and hangs stuff and everything else. My wife does all kind. Becky does all kinds of stuff. I just dig ditches and roll paint on every once in a while. But if you give carnal-minded people the opportunity, they will do one of two things. Either they're so carnal-minded they don't see spiritual things and they'll mess up spiritual things, or either they're so carnal-minded they think they're right because they're keeping some law. Yeah. I've had people send me messages. They saw our church online. They asked me questions. Do the women at your church wear dresses? I said, some do, some don't. And some of those people wouldn't come because I said that. Others said, do your men at your church wear a coat and tie? I said, some do, some don't. And some didn't come because I said that. Well, do you just sing out of the hymn book? I said, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. And they didn't, and some didn't come because of that. You see what I'm saying? We're not spiritual enough. according to them, because they've taken some laws of God and they've spread them out even thinner than what they are. And because of that, they have judged everybody in this room on Sunday morning. Everybody in this room. And I think when the Edenhoffers and Sister Kathy was going to come, they sent me a note or something, asked me. And I said, well, we've got people of all kinds. I said, there's some people just been saved. They come here. There's some people been saved a little bit longer. You'll notice a little bit difference in them. And some been saved a long time. You'll notice difference in them. And then we've got some that's lost. And there'll be a great difference in them. But to set ourselves up as the final authority, the law of God, that's just as carnal as fornication. That's just as carnal as covetousness. So what we've got to do, we've got to humble ourselves, and we've got to be wise, and we've got to love each other enough to know that you don't always have to have a judgment. You don't always have to have a judgment. And you've got to love each other enough to talk to each other.
Yes.
Most marriages break up, and what the woman will say is, my husband never did talk to me. And sometimes my wife looks at me like, I wish you'd shut up. Not really, she don't do that. But look, we're supposed to be the most spiritual place in town. Should we not be spiritual minded enough to judge small matters? Now, if you got a problem here, talk about it. Talk about it. And I remember Jason Coley, he loved to talk about it. I'd go see him, he loved it. He loved it. He loved to talk about it. And he loved to tell me what he thought too. But I liked to hear him. I wanted to hear it, you know. But the point being, this is what I'm burdened with until I get raptured or I die. Until then, I've got to use this, and I've got to make spiritual judgments without thought of what this says. Because this will put you under the law. And that's the Bible. Now, what are we going to do with it? Amen. We're getting through early tonight. See, if you don't have all them other people in here, you can get out of here on time. Amen. Come on, Brother Edenhofer, lead us in a song. Amen. I thank God for this man right here. What a blessing him and his family being. Whole family. What a blessing.
Opening number 408. Number 408.